Yeah, what?
All right, we're rolling.
Oh, good.
We're rolling.
Good. I was wondering when you were going to press that button.
Well, I have.
Well, good, because, you know, it's good that it gets pressed because otherwise nothing happens. Because otherwise we're fucked.
We're fucked, man.
Well, mate, we're fucked. Whatever.
Oh, my God, man.
Mate, whatever. We're fucking fucked, cunt.
Mate, if you don't record this podcast, fucking one phone call, man. One phone call, I'll fuck you up.
I can imagine there's some people that do not appreciate that voice. But, you know, look, what are we going to do?
What are you going to do?
What are you going to do, huh?
What are you going to do?
What are you going to do?
What are you going to do? What's going on, baby?
Baby, 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 when you touch me like this, when you hold me like that. What's going on? I got new glasses and I need to tighten them up because they keep on like just very slightly falling down. Or maybe it's the make. They just keep falling down my nose slightly and it's yeah, good on you, Jim. Start barking now while we press record, dickhead. Fuck's sake. Woof. Hey, shut up, idiot. Someone fucking closed a car door out four streets away. Yeah. So, of course, Jimmy has
in
to
fucking. Essendon, so he had to let us know about it.
Yeah, just thanks to let us know, Jim's good. But, yeah, and they just keep on like slightly falling down my nose and it's really fucking annoying. I'm having a rough time with it because every time I move my head slightly and I feel like the girl in the store when I picked him up, she was like, do you want me to tighten them up? And I kind of like put them on and shook my head. She was like, yeah, if they're not falling off when you do that, it's fine. And I'm like, dickhead, she should have just done it then. Because obviously, like, after I wore them 5 minutes, they kind of settled into my face and yeah. I need it. But also, I don't know if it's going to be a thing where it's like if I tighten them, like, and if they tighten them, it fixes it, or it could just be that they can tighten them and it doesn't fix it. It's just that the make of these ones particularly just fall off a bit. Because the glasses I've previously had, the last few pairs, they're really good at staying on my nose and these ones are not. Sorry, I just had a little burp then. Seals told me off for burping in the mic.
Yeah.
So I'm really going to try not to do that.
But it's kind of your thing now.
It is my thing.
Yeah, it's like your catchphrase. Well, the glasses look good.
Thanks.
They look really good.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
It's in our name.
It's based on our name. That's a quote from
Kroll Show.
Kroll Show. Man, under like Hidden Gem. I feel like not a lot of people here watched it. Like, I find it really hard to find people who watched it. Kroll Show was great.
I don't think it was shown on anything.
It was on, I reckon it was on Comedy Channel, maybe.
Even the people who had Foxtel didn't have Comedy Channel.
Yeah. Yeah, it was on another tier.
Only like freaks 4, like you and me would be like, well, I've got to get the lifestyle package because it's got the Comedy Channel.
Ugh. And even then, it would be like, I don't know, comedians up late.
Coming up next, we've got a 124-hour marathon of Whose Line Is It Anyway? The English version.
Which I'm so on. No, I'm on board. Shut up. Colin Mochrie and Ryan Stiles.
They're on both, so it doesn't really matter.
But the English version was good.
I want some Wayne Brady.
Really?
I like Wayne Brady. On that show, you know, and the episode of the Chappelle Show. Dude, if you – I don't understand how you can – What's the problem with Wayne Brady?
I don't know. It's just like it's easy. It's real easy to like him. You know, he loves your mum loves him. He's that kind of guy. Yeah.
But Colin Mochrie is the bad boy of improvised comedy.
Colin Mochrie is a fucking weirdo and there's no way your mum likes Colin Mochrie because she'd be like, what's he doing? That's weird. But with Wayne Brady, they'd be like, he's so suave. He's a real good singer.
My mum doesn't like comedy. Remember when she said that a few weeks ago when she was here?
And
that made me – I had an existential like crisis about it.
Yeah, your mum said, nah, I don't like comedy. Nah, I don't like it. So he showed her an episode of Shazam with what's it called? With Jamie Foxx, the music quiz show, and she did laugh.
No, that wasn't – we showed her something else.
Oh, we showed her Taskmaster.
Yeah, she laughed at that.
Oh, we showed her Taskmaster and she laughed at it. Doesn't like comedy. But also, I think it's like that's just something our parents, like my mum would be that kind of person that would be like, it's not funny. It's not funny.
It's just not funny.
Like, I hate it
you
when.
You know what's funny? Hey, Dad, that was funny.
Yeah, real funny. Real problematically funny. Oh boy.
I just want to see something like, hey, hey, it's Saturday.
No, they don't. Yeah, they like the footy show when the footy players dress as women.
Yeah.
And the end of year review, and it's terrible.
We were at a family function of yours on Saturday, and I had a brief chat with your mum, and we pretty much only talk about footy.
Mm.
And then she was like, somehow she mentioned the front bar, and she's like, do you watch the front bar? I'm like, no, not really. She's like, don't you think that's funny? She like had a proper crisis of confidence that I didn't watch. I was like, no, like I used to watch it all the time. When it first came on TV, I watched it all the time. But
just don't watch it now, Lena, so shut your fucking trap.
Like if you've seen one Sportsman Night, you've seen them all.
Mm.
That's what that
Who
show.
Who's your love, Sam Pang?
Yeah, I mean, look, compared to the alternative, which was the old footy show, it's 1,000 times better. And there's, you know, funny people who write for it and stuff. But me personally, I'm not watching. But I really
shook
her confidence in it.
She
couldn't believe that I didn't watch it.
I respect Lena more for watching Front Bar because you're right, after all the of all the footy things you could listen to or watch, Front Bar I feel like is a good place to be.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But it is like it's a sportsman's night. Like if you've been to a sportsman's night at a footy club or a cricket club where like famous sports people come and tell stories, that's what that show
is. What is the old school footy show? Is that not on anymore?
No.
Really? Is that because Sam Newman decided he didn't want to do it?
No, it's because no one wanted to watch Sam Newman anymore.
Great. Because he's a real dickhead, isn't he?
Yeah, and has gotten
real fucking
like is getting more and more off the deep end as the days go by. As the days go by,
get a little closer to you.
So after the footy show, he started a podcast with a couple of other footy people, and it just did, like it was meant to be about footy, and then it just slowly drifted off into right wing politics.
Drifted off to anti-vaxxing.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. And now.
Why should I get a vaccine when I don't know what's in it? But don't worry, in the 70s, I did a lot of cocaine. I'll put that in my fucking body. Oh, and don't worry about the Botox in my brain, mate. But don't want to put a fucking vaccine in you. All right, mate. Good one.
Yeah, exactly right.
I'm not touching that one.
I remember him, like it was 3 or 4 months into the pandemic and he was on 3AW and SE. He started campaign about golf, that golf should be exempt from lockdown laws. Because
oh, my God. Like if you couldn't appeal, if you couldn't bloody be saying that I'm a rich arsehole anymore, it's the golf thing.
Yeah, just like say you're a say you're upper middle class twat without saying it.
Yeah.
Well, surely golf isn't included in these new rules.
Wow.
I forgot what a fucking, about that. Remember that? That's insane.
What a fucking piece of garb.
I think if there was a different premier in place, might have happened as well. Now, remember, you've got to stay in your house. You've got an hour of exercise a day unless you're playing a game of golf, and then you've got 6 hours of exercise a day that you can.
Golf or colf?
Colf.
Colf. Hello, Jim. Jim's come back on my lap.
It's a cross between cricket and golf.
Jim's come back. Hi, Jim.
Hi, Jim.
Oh, I just hit the door. It's all right. I'm just trying to grab Jimmy and get on my lap because he's obviously a very, very cold puppy right now because we've both been out this Saturday. And he has been home with no one to cuddle him. Oh, there we go.
That's one cold puppy.
He's real cold. He just shakes all the time. He's got real cold here this morning. I was cuddling him in bed because that's what I do as soon as I wake up. I grab him for a cuddle.
And I also refuse to hug you in bed. I refuse.
Yeah, I'm not waking you up. And Jimmy, and I was like whispering to him in the darkness going, Jimmy, I've got to take you to the vet and get your teeth cleaned. Because when you get dogs, their teeth cleaned, you actually got to take them to the vet. And they have to be put under. He knows I'm saying it right now. He's looking at me with his big eyes going, what? And you got to like actually take him to the vet. They have to put them under. There's no other way to do it. Just shut up if you're like, no. Nah. That's what has to happen. They got to put them under and they have to clean their teeth that way. So it's not something I like to do a lot because I don't like putting him under and he gets really scared from it. But he hasn't had it in, I think, since before pandemic. So it's probably in like 3 years or whatever. Anyway, and I just was whispering to him, we've got to take you to the vet and get your teeth cleaned. And the minute I said it, in the darkness, he just goes, and just like half growled, half groaned at me. Like he knew it. He knew I was talking about his teeth.
Because he's a pretty smart boy.
He's a smart boy.
He's a smart boy. And he knows he's going to the vet and it's going to be bad.
Jimmy's got the stinkiest breath. He's got the stinky breath. Now he knows. Now I just started bloody cuddling him. And now he's coming in for a scritch scratch. I'm working, Jimbles. I'm working. Mum's working.
Mummy's working.
Mum's working, sweetheart. All right, off you go. Off you go. But I just want a pet.
Nah, not while mummy's working.
Nah, mum's working. Oh, God, get out. Well, go get your father to get you a scritch scratch.
Put that cigarette out for mum, will you?
I don't want to. No, no. That's Jimmy's voice.
That's how Jim talks?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. But he can be a bit. He's a very delicate boy. I actually was watching a dog first aid course video. Yes, I was.
It's a first aid course run by dogs.
Yeah. Run, run, run. No, I'm not going to do it. That's a dumb joke. It's run by a human about how to help dogs.
Yeah.
And it was they were talking about if a dog like kind of vomits for no reason in the morning, it's normally because they're anxious. They vomit because they're anxious because it's like early in the morning and they don't. They don't know if you're about to feed them or not. It's like dogs every morning.
It's relatable.
It is. It's like dogs every morning are like, they're going to forget to feed me. This fucking dumb shit is going to forget to feed me. And Jimmy is one of those dogs who every once in a while, like if we walk him too late in the morning, he'll just have a vomit. There's nothing in it because he hasn't eaten since the day before. Because it's the morning and that's what he does. He gets anxious and goes, they're forgetting to feed me. They don't remember. And he has a vom of just bile. And then he's fine. You just feed him and he's fine. But that's how nervous of a dog he is. And they were talking about that it is a real thing. So while we are like just, you know, it's 8:30 in the morning. We're like, all right, Jim, let me put some pants on. I'll go walk you. He's like genuinely stressed out. Like, fucking walk me, you dumb fuck. You need to fucking walk, you dumb cunt. Walk, you fuck. Jim. Walk me, you fucking cunt.
Relax, Jim.
If you walk me, you can feed me. Yeah, put your shoes on, fat fuck. I feel like that's how he thinks about me sometimes.
Yeah, that makes sense.
He hates me. Anyway.
Could you imagine if you vomited every time you felt anxious?
Mate, I would never be speaking ever. I think I would just be vomiting 24/7. The anxiousness. But there are people that vomit when they're anxious. I fart when I'm anxious and I poop when I'm anxious. Yes, I know too much information, but like if I'm opening up, especially if I'm like doing an hour stand-up, like the last thing I do before I go on stage is I just sit on the toilet. Nothing can be happening, but I just sit because I'm just like, if you think that I'm going to go to the toilet or do a poop, 22 minutes into this hour, you're fucking wrong, Bowles. Anything you want to happen happens fucking now.
Yeah.
Understand me?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyway.
I get it.
So I'm sharing too much.
No. This is how you build an audience.
I don't know if they want to hear it.
They do.
I think they came here for the TV.
Nah.
And the movies.
Nah, it's all butt stuff.
More TV, less bow.
Nah, it's all butt stuff all the time.
You know, I will tell you something about butt stuff.
Oh, here we go.
I've got a burp. Hang on. See, I didn't do it in the mic. You're welcome. No, she's right. I shouldn't be burping in the mic. It's too much. I used to have a joke about, you talk about butt stuff and I 100%. So I used to have this bit where I talk about my asshole on stage and it was about because I had an anal fissure. And I assume everyone knows about my anal fissure because I talked about it for so long on stage. And it was basically the joke was I've got an anal fissure, blah, blah, blah. And when I would talk about it on stage afterwards, it was the most people would talk to me about like one of my jokes or they would repeat back to me.
Yeah.
So like afterwards people would be like, oh, my God, great show. Oh, God, I have an anal fissure too. Right. Oh, I had a problem with my butt. Like people love when they find out you've got something wrong with their bum, with something wrong with your bum, they love to tell you about their wrong bum.
Yeah, because they're like – they're not alone anymore. Someone else has had the same thing, but it's an embarrassing thing. No one talks about it. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
But they love it. Like no one, and like to the point where one time afterwards some guy was like, man, I can, my butthole will not stop bleeding. And I'm like, go to a doctor. This is like, if you want to be like,
it's
hey,
bleeding right now. Yeah. Well, it's bleeding right now as I'm talking to you.
It's bleeding for you because I love your butt comedy. But I just was like, why are you telling me this? Like, I know that you want to share and all this stuff, but like, yeah, it got weird. Got weird, bro.
Got weird, bro.
Things get weird. And it's getting real weird here, man, because Jimmy's like licking my finger.
Yeah.
I don't know why. There's that finger.
Who knows where that's been?
I know where it's been. Nowhere.
Yeah.
Nah, well, I'm just trying to think. Where did his finger been? I mean, you know what? I had lunch before. There's probably a bit of my lunch still on my finger. But I've washed my hands since then.
What'd you have for lunch?
I had chicken schnitzel at a pub.
Oh, okay.
Chicken schnitzel with chippies and salad at a pub.
Okay.
With onion gravy.
All right. Well, then we'll probably have to work out something else for dinner.
I'll have chicken schnitzel for dinner. Oh,
another one.
Yeah, I love it. It's my favorite food.
I love the schnitzel.
Yep.
Let's talk about TEB. Let's talk about movies. We've got two things that we talk about.
Two movies.
One is a made-for-TV movie.
Is it?
Yeah.
Was it?
Yeah.
Was it not? Oh, let me check. I thought, so it wasn't made to be out in the real world at all, right?
Not that I'm aware of, no.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was made by Apple.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm looking at that now. Distributed by Apple TV. So, yeah, made for TV. But listen, I feel like the made for TV thing was said back in the day when, you know, Candace Bergerman, whoever her name is.
Yeah, Candace Bergerman.
Bergerman. Like when it was like there was a particular kind of Fabio-esque actor that was, it was made for TV. Like it was bad. Like it was like not without my butthole, you know.
Kelly Vistuka. So much butthole talk to
I know. The Kelly Vistuka story.
There is
know?
Absolutely made for TV films. It's like Apple Plus is funding Scorsese's next film, but that's going to get a theatrical release. So I don't think that's a TV movie. This film that we're about to talk about is only going to be, you can only see it.
But it was
on Apple Plus. But you can, it is on VOD as well.
The caliber of made for TV, it's not even made for TV, it's made for streaming. So places like your Netflixes, your Apple TVs, your Stanzas, they're actually, they're making movies for their streaming service, which is different from your made-for-TV movies about Amy Fisher or something.
I get what you're saying, but I think this film you could absolutely call a made-for-TV film.
Because?
Because I didn't think it was very good at all.
Should we give
the name of the film?
It's
called The Beanie Bubble, and it stars Zach Galifianakis and some other people.
Elizabeth Banks, who is great in everything she's in.
Except this film.
Fuck off. She's great in it. Sarah Snook.
Mm-hmm.
Gorgeous. Aussies. More Aussie gold.
Aussie.
Yeah.
It's just gold. Like, gold, mate, for Australia.
She's just like a Karen Perkins on screen. She's so good. Yeah. Just winning gold for Australia.
Mate, we're so old.
I love Sarah Snook. She's really easy to watch. And it's The Beanie Baby. It's based on a book called The Great Beanie Baby Bubble, Mass Delusion and the Dark Side of Cute. Mm-hmm. So for those of you who don't remember, because we are quite old and some of you don't remember about The Beanie Babies, Beanie Babies was basically like little teddy bears that got made where for some reason they were able to sell them as collectibles and, you know, iconic collectible bullshit.
Yeah.
So people were like killing each other just to get a particular Beanie Baby. And then like all good pyramid schemes, it fucking fell on its butthole.
Well, not for the people who ran it. And everybody who's involved in this story ended up a millionaire. So there's not a huge amount of tension or drama in this story at all. Look, I think the acting performances and stuff in this film were fine. I'm probably just a little bit over the, like, corporate biopic that we're getting. Like, you know, we had Air, the Nike story, and then there's, like, There's a whole bunch of films about video games, like the guy who made Tetris. There's a freaking movie about that where it's like you're barracking for Tetris to get off the ground. This is another one where it's like, well, I hope all the women who are involved in this like billion-dollar industry stayed a millionaire. Like, I just – there was a part of me that was turned off at almost instantaneously where it's like, well, I just don't think these people's problems are really that big a deal because they like – made their way up to be rich, they continue to be rich, and at the end of the story, they're still rich. And that seemed to be the spirit of the film. It's like, well, everything's okay as long as you're still a millionaire at the end of the film.
I thought the film was really because it kind of – I thought it was made really well because the way it goes back and forth through time, like how it starts to now, back to where it started to now. And I felt like even though it was doing that kind of fun – back and forth for us, the viewer, to kind of stay in it, I felt like that kind of that roped me in because I'm like, I want to see how this – and they were able to cross the stories, the first story being how it all really began and then – but then the second story was how – when I say it began, it was the toy company started to click together in terms of people and they just were doing fine. But then click to like say 10 years later when Beanie Babies actually started fucking, you know, how certain people's ideas, you know, this particular idea from this person, this idea from this person, this like there was different people who contributed different ideas to then have the crux of what it was to how Beanie Babies became a, you know, just were able to lie to people about being, you know, extraordinary and stuff.
Yeah, I was just infinitely bored.
Really?
But
it was an interesting story.
No, I just don't think it is an interesting story.
I don't care.
Like, I don't care about anybody's story in this film. The only story that is slightly sort of emotionally involving for me was, is it Sarah Snook?
Yeah. The redhead.
Like, yeah, she gets involved in – Zach Galifianakis' character is like Ty, the head of the organization, and he like is sort of this crazy slash slightly evil, awful kind of guy, and Sarah Snook ends up having a relationship with him. And that story was like, oh, that's – like there were parts to that. I was like, oh, God, that's awful. Like what an awful dude. But the other parts of the story, I was like, well – the younger girl who's constantly complaining about, well, that was my idea and you didn't give me any credit for it and blah, blah, blah. Well, that's business. That's what happens as a creative in a business. You come up with ideas. People above you take credit for it. That's capitalism, baby. Like, yeah, it sucks, but
so harsh.
That's the way it works.
So harsh, man.
And the Elizabeth Banks character ends up being just as bad as Zach Galifianakis as well because, like, she's double-crossing him and, like, double-crossing other people and cheating with Zach Galifianakis when he's in a relationship and stuff. Like, if I'm meant to dislike Zach Galifianakis' character for doing all this stuff, then Elizabeth Banks' character is just as annoying and weird and dumb as well.
I mean, I feel like there was a part of the real person, Ty Warner, who Zach plays, and I felt like that character, the one thing that did bother me was that he always had a girlfriend or was fuckable and the character was not like even if in real life this guy was nailing it because he was nailing people, I found that his childlike, you know, let's make some stuffed animals and jump on the bed. I find any adult who behaves like that and then is in it some kind
It's off-putting for sure.
It's so off-putting. Like any kind of behavior like that where someone's like any kind of Michael Jackson-esque behavior and then they're like fucking in the back of a limo, I'm like, ugh.
Yeah.
Ugh. That was the only thing that annoyed me. But in terms of the story, I was in because the story starts where you know that no one's friends, everyone has fucked over people. That's how it starts. So I am kind of in because I'm like, cool, I want to know how that happens. And I feel like the film does tell you exactly how it tells you how things unravel, how Ty basically, yeah, like business, just rips off anyone that's on his side. He's really possessive, really a horrible person who went out of his way to make sure people got minimal shares in the company, who helped start the company.
Mm.
And then went out of his way with a woman who was dating a woman, and he would use the woman's kids as ways to test his products and then totally fuck them over.
Yeah, but everybody who's in that position was like that. Steve Jobs was like that. Bill Gates was like that. Something about this story just to this is what it is. The semiotics, like, to me, there is a soft power with these films that are being made with the semiotics of like, hey, remember, capitalism is still good. This could be you. You could do this. And I hate that. I just don't any story that I don't give a fuck about people making money. I don't care about that. I think that the reason why, you know, it's like, oh, rags to riches story, how he gained it, lost it, and got it all back again. I don't care about that at all. That's not a story that resonates with me. Zach Galifianakis' character, this Thai guy, is a dick, but I also just I just wasn't that engaged in the women's stories either, because there was also a part of me, and I agree with you on this, Dukes, that why there were red flags immediately with him, you know, and they continuously keep, like, putting up with him. And so there's a part of me that's like, I just drift off from that, where I'm like, well, I just thought, yeah, this. I will say the tone of the film felt confused. It's like sort of half a documentary, and then sometimes it's a comedy, and then it's like bouncing around all over the place. I really like everybody. You know, I like those actors. I thought the actors did a pretty good job. But
you,
like,
hate the story. But this is one thing I know you, Damien, is that you can't get invested in any kind of movie or TV where the main protagonist is not likable. You need to have a likable protagonist to enjoy a film or TV show. Well,
that's why they're called the protagonists, because it's someone that you've got to get behind. And if they're not, then
right. But, like,
that's actually not true, because my favorite film of all time is Clockwork Orange, and Alex is not a likable protagonist.
Do you really like a Clockwork Orange?
You've got a giant poster of it on your wall.
Yeah, you do. I just thought you were being a bloody nuff dude. Like, you know, it comes with every dude. It's either that or Scarface.
Fight Club.
Or Fight Club.
These are my top three films.
Yeah.
Scarface.
Yeah.
Clockwork Orange.
Yeah.
Fight Club.
Braveheart.
Braveheart.
Shawshank Redemption.
Shawshank Redemption. Yeah. That's my top five.
Done. Done.
Top five movies of all
time. Now let's go Sports Globe, get some wings.
I mean, I wouldn't say no to that. I wouldn't say no to that.
Do that tonight. Let's get some wings, mate.
Yeah, get some wings, mate.
I would love some wings. I actually want some Mexican. Now I want the wings. Now I want schnitzels. Food addiction is
horrible.
Very hard.
Yeah, there was just something cold about this film to me. I think, like, they were doing all the correct steps to get you engaged in the story, and like, hey, isn't this an interesting story of sort of corporate intrigue and blah, blah. But then there was also this, like, comedic tone to it, where I'm like, well, do you want me to dislike this guy or not? Because when you cast someone like Zach Galifianakis, and there's times in the film where he's genuinely charming, it's difficult for me at the end of the film where he's being a complete arsehole for me to be like, oh, we don't like him now. So we don't like him at the start, then we do like him for a bit, and then we don't like, I don't know. I just felt like the tone of the film was off. It was, you know, sporadic and a bit splattergun. And also the other thing that I hate about these films as well, sorry, just one more thing, is the fucking 90s and 80s button that gets pushed repeatedly.
Oh, yeah.
Like, in this desperate attempt to stop people from looking at their phones. Like, hey, check it out. It's Huey Lewis in the News. That's how you know it's 1983.
Yeah, it's like,
oh, the Cranberries are playing now. It's 1992. Like, just like, I don't know. It feels like lazy filmmaking of like, oh, if we just spot these, we'll just put these little droplets of, you know, beautiful pop music in here, and it'll keep people interested. You know? Like,
and she was wearing like a plastic black choker, which is very 92. One of the characters.
She wore it throughout the whole 90s.
Yeah, just so we knew it was the 90s.
It's like she's wearing it throughout. She might as well have been just wearing like a fucking Pixies t-shirt the whole
Pixies, film. I appreciate the reference, but that's not 90s. That's not a well-known 90s enough. Like, okay, it's got to be.
Never mind t-shirt.
Yeah, thank you. yeah, never mind. Naked baby, you know, in the pool.
I think the Pixies are pretty 90s, but anyway.
No, but it's not as well known. You got to do something more well known.
Well, they were pretty well known to Kurt Cobain.
What about MTV Unplugged? Garbage. I'm only happy when it rains.
Yeah, that gets a run. I mean,
that gets a run.
The soundtrack is good, but it's every 45 seconds of like, you know, and then we cut to the next scene. There's an establishing shot, and at the same time, we get a pop song from that year to tell us, "Hey, it's 1987. We're bouncing.
Hey, 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 hey. Ooh, well, don't you know it's the 80s?" It's like that. It's always the same kind of songs.
Look, man,
but I like it though, because I go, "Oh, that's what's happening." Oh, is that where we are?
Something about this film made me angry watching it.
You were so mad. I don't know why.
I did not like it. There were so many things I didn't like about it. And I'm getting confused about what all of they were. But the tone was all over the place. You know, the guy who's meant to be a complete arsehole was, you know, they cast like a really likable comedian who's being pretty likable throughout the film.
Yeah, he needed to be more, and he needed to be more ugly.
Menacing and ugly, and not this cute little. Yeah, you know, Zach Galifianakis is a cute little.
Cute.
Yeah,
because when you look at the real Thai blah blah blah, he was the real guy. Was more of a weird, like it looked like a billionaire who wore suspenders. But, like, had no children.
More of a Mr. Burns type.
Yeah, like Mr. Burns, yeah.
You get an older actor who's skinnier and a bit more evil, bent over. You know what I mean? Like, I can't think of someone off the top of my head.
So you didn't like it? You didn't like the Beanie Bubble?
No, I'm giving it half a grump.
You're giving it half a grump?
Half a grump, mate.
Really? You fucking hated this movie?
Yeah.
I think I'm going to give it 3 grumps. I didn't hate it, but I didn't love it. But I was also like, oh, this is fine. This is fine.
I want more than that.
I want the fairy tale.
I want to dance.
It's a good film. I haven't watched Dazed and Confused in a while.
That is
good. I got to burp again. Done. Do you reckon that come up on the mic?
I'd rather you did it into the mic.
No, no, no. I push the mic away and I push my hand away.
No.
All right, 3 grumps from me. And then
half a grump.
Half a grump. Wow. Wow.
Wowee.
Wowee. second film?
Second film is Mission Impossible.
Blah, 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 blah.
The full title is Mission Impossible 8.
No, 7.
7?
Dead Reckoning Part 1. Back in the habit.
Kings of Mykonos.
Mission Impossible with a Vengeance.
Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 2, Kings of Mykonos.
Part Dux.
Part 33 and a third. Kings of Mykonos.
What's Kings of Mykonos again? Is that
That's the Wog Boy 2.
Oh, it's the Wog Boy. Can we watch Wog Boy 2?
Greatest Australian sequel of all time.
Was that made straight after, or was that the one that was done recently? The Wog Boy movie?
No, the recent one is Wog Boy 3.
Oh.
But I don't know if we should be talking about these films as much as we are. We might get asked to pay. Do we have to pay royalties for mentioning it?
Nah, we should definitely watch the most recent Wog Boy. I reckon we should totally watch it and just see what's
up. Do it for the podcast?
We should do it for the podcast. Do it for the podcast.
No one's watching Wog Boy 3, though. That's the problem.
And I think they know that we're just
going
to
skim through those episode titles and be like, Wog Boy 3?
Yeah.
Gee, I wonder if Damien liked this one.
Yeah, I know. All right. Well, Mission Impossible Part 33 and 3rd, Back in the Habit. Okay, first of all.
I mean, Whoopi Goldberg being in this was a weird casting.
I think Jimmy just farted.
Uh-oh.
And he's sitting on my lap and I'm just like, it is a sour fucking smell coming from his butt. Jesus, Jimbles. What the fuck, man? What
hey
did you eat?
There's sour bum.
Little Jimby boy. All right. So I, for whatever's sake. I actually really like I know that Tom Cruise might be a weirdo. We don't know what's happening over there. But I really like the Mission Impossible films. I just think that they're really easy to watch.
Mm-hmm.
And I also think that Tom Cruise is really easy to watch too. If I am searching for something to watch, I'll go to the binge center of Tom Cruise and go, what's happening over here? Because even though he might be a weirdo, we don't know what's happening behind closed doors, is that his films are very fucking watchable and likable. And there are a few films of his that I can rewatch and rewatch because he's great. I think he's good, man. He's easy to watch. I watched A Few Good Men a few days ago again for the 100th time. So much so that you started watching it with me, Damien, and I started quoting it as it was going, and not even like an important scene. You know what I mean? Like not even that you can't handle the truth scene. I'm just talking about real fucking, so you got any Kung Pao chicken? Like real simple scenes that I can quote because I love it. But that's what Tom Cruise is like. So Mission Impossible, you can call me a fucking hack. I don't give a shit because I'm fucking in, mate. I'm in.
Well, your phaetons are at level 7 now, so congratulations for that.
Well, what?
It's just a Scientology joke.
Oh, my phaetons.
Yeah. Isn't that what they are in Scientology? Something.
I don't know what it is.
Don't you have to get, like, don't you have to do a phaeton? We should not be talking about the Church of Scientology.
Mate, they're going
to
fucking, they're already at the front door. Ding dong. Hello.
What do you think of the movie?
I liked it. And you know why I liked it? I liked it as well for a few reasons. Mm-hmm. One of them being that it had the chick in it who played Princess Margaret on The Crown, the English chick with the blonde hair. In real life, her name's Vanessa Kirby, but Princess Margaret I will refer to because everyone is only ever referred to as their television.
Princess Margaret. And also it also has Agent Carter from Captain America in it. She's the main girl in the main girl. I sound like my mum. She's the main girl in this film.
Oh, the pickpocketer.
Hayley Atwell, I think, is her real name. Is that?
The English chick. Yeah.
Yeah, she was
brunette.
She was Agent Carter, which is kind of like Captain America's girlfriend. That's who Captain America goes back in time to spend the rest of his life with end of Avengers. Spoiler alert.
The chick, that actress, spoiler, all spoilers. No facts?
Mate, no facts or spoilers.
The chick who ends up dying in this film, clank, 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 clang. She, Jimmy did another fart. This is chaos. It's chaos. She was in Doctor Sleep. So I think Rebecca something, she's like, is she Dutch or something? Where was she born? I don't fucking know.
She loves God.
But she wasn't Doctor Sleep. She was Rose the Hat, Rosie. So in that show, The Shining.
Rose the Hat.
Yeah. You know The Shining. So the second part of The Shining was made is the book is or whatever it is, I'm Doctor Sleep. She's in that and she plays a supernatural weirdo called Rosie the Hat or whatever it is.
Rosie the Hat. You've got to go down and see Rosie the Hat.
Oh, she was also in Greatest Showman as well. Listen, this chick has had a really good fucking – she's had a really
– Listen, guys.
She's gorgeous.
Rosie
too.
The Hat is fucking sick.
Dude, and her name, Rebecca Ferguson. She was born in Stockholm, Sweden. She's gorgeous. There's something about her face that I just find she is stunning. But, yeah, I love Princess Margaret. I love her. That actress is real good.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's real good.
Cool. Well, that's a great review, Stix.
Nah, the movie is good. Look, it's fucking, what do you want? It's fucking.
What do you fucking want,
What do you want? What do you guys want? Me? What do you want from us, huh?
What do you think this film is?
What do you want? It's Mission Impossible, okay? Look, that's all it is. What are they fighting for? Who knows?
Did you want to see Tom Cruise running on the roof of Dubai Airport? Well, you're going to see it.
Yeah.
Did you want to see Tom Cruise running through Vienna? Well, you're going to see that too.
Yeah, is he on a motorcycle? Of course he is. Is he going off cliffs? Absolutely. Is
on the motorcycle? Yeah, of course he is. You've already seen that. It's in the trailer. Don't worry about it. It's not a spoiler.
Listen, it's just there's no point going over what the story is about. I mean, it's kind of AI-ish. Who cares? It's just entertaining.
That was the one bit of the story that just felt a little boomery to me, that like the internet is bad.
Like, that was,
the bad guys got control of this new internet and it's going to kill, it's going to, you know, like the world will end if this bad guy gets control of this part of the internet sort of thing, you know?
Like, hello, part two.
He'll be able to download season two of The Flash.
Part two is not coming out until June next year.
This is another thing that I'm not a huge fan of.
What the fuck is that?
I don't really like films being spread. Not since Pirates of the Caribbean 2 have I been this frustrated that the film. Look, do you remember? I didn't know Pirates of the Caribbean 2 was part of two films. Pirates of the Caribbean 2 and 3 are the one film. And I didn't know that. And I got to the end of Pirates 2.
I don't like Johnny Depp.
This was pre-Johnny good, okay?
I don't give a shit about Edward Scissorhands.
It was a different time. Everybody loved Huber Stank and was watching Johnny Depp films, okay?
Oh, like, God.
People had tips in their hair. That's what was happening, babe.
Man. They had black plastic chokers.
Yeah, people had plastic. Nah, that had already gone. People were listening to System of a Down.
I don't. Give me another music reference. Come on.
People were listening to Linkin Park.
Ding, 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 ding.
Limp Bizkit.
I tried so hard and all the blah. Is that that song? Yeah. What's that song?
But in the end, it really doesn't matter.
Is it Linkin Park or?
That's Linkin Park, yeah.
Who was the other person you just said?
I said Limp Bizkit, who wrote the Mission Impossible theme. I don't know if you know that.
Dun, 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 dun. That they know they didn't. You're lying.
No, they did a version of the Mission Impossible theme for
Limp Bizkit.
Yeah, from MI2, for Mission Impossible 2.
Australian one.
Yeah. Limp Bizkit did their version of the Mission Impossible theme, and it was a small alternative hit.
What's the song that Limp Bizkit sing?
Oh, what don't they sing?
Good songs?
They actually, their first single was a cover of Faith by George Michael.
Well, I guess it would be nice like that.
Yeah.
Fuck them. They die in a fire, I hope.
Yeah.
Them. Don't fucking touch George Michael. I don't know if
George would have been super happy with
it. What's a big song that I would
know? They did I Did It All for the Nookie. The Nookie.
I don't know. Whatever.
You know that song.
No, I don't. No. All I know is that I know that when I watched the Woodstock 99 documentary that they said that something about Limp Bizkit is when everyone started getting raped and I'm just not on board with them.
That's brought the tone of the show.
Because it was like, you know, it's like, oh, Woodstock, blah, blah, blah. And all of a sudden, Limp Bizkit come on stage and all the white guys who have been drinking all day, smoking weed, drinking all day, all of a sudden they get real charged, like angrily charged, where they either want to fight or rape you. And it just seems like everyone blames Limp Bizkit because they actually kind of got everything, they like got it all going, where they're like, fuck yeah. And like,
they would absolutely, you know, if you wanted to call them like frat metal or frat rock,
Know,
like you could absolutely call them
frat
that.
Rock.
Yeah.
God, as a society, we're living in a society, man.
We're living in a society. Anyway, Mission Impossible is really good. You've got the recurring character, like the recurring actors, Simon Pegg.
Sorry, I can't stop yawning. I had a wine at lunch.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. I had a wine with Rose at lunch and now I just can't stop yawning. I'm so sorry, everybody.
Okay. anyway, so the recurring, like, what was I talking about? Simon Pegg, Marcellus Wallace from Pulp Fiction.
Marcellus Wallace from Pulp Fiction. Who's that?
Is
that Ving Rhames?
Yeah, Ving Rhames.
Oh, right? Okay.
They're back and this time in Pog form. It's just a lot of like, you know, Tom Cruise wearing special glasses so he can, you know, see who the bad guys are in Dubai airport. Like, I think with the Mission Impossible films, like, the stories are a little, they don't really, there's a lot of MacGuffins, right? Like, it doesn't really matter that much. It's about the set pieces and the amazing, like,
yeah.
That scene where he's running along in Venice and they had, like, thousands and thousands and thousands of candles in the cathedral and that scene was like a running scene that was
amazing.
Shot that went for
great.
45
and he ran
seconds.
You know, Tom Cruise ran and he probably did that take 10 times
more probably,
and
he's
it was
in,
great
he's insane
yeah.
I think our review at the end of the film when it first finished, both of us were like, it's too long.
It was too long. It was just under 3 hours and there's a second part to it. It's too long, guys. You know what I do like is that they work for IMF, it's Impossible Mission Federation.
Yeah, something like that.
Isn't it the same people that do the bowling in Victoria? Not Strike, but remember it was like, what was the old place?
IMF, yeah.
It was IMF. It was the bowling. Like at the Werribee Rec Centre, they used to have bowling by IMF before Strike. Anyway, I just thought that was a funny tidbit.
Your mission, if you choose to accept it, is to not spill your Pinot on the lane.
Ba-da-ba-ba-da-ba. Farts.
Well, I assume you've got nothing else to say about Mission Impossible.
It was too long. It's too long. I like it. I'm happy to be there. Listen, listen, listen. I like Tom Cruise. I like your Mission Impossibles.
Yeah.
I don't have to think too hard.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, it's going to be funny and charming, and story's never going to be too complex because they'll be like, oh no, the blah, 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 blah has happened. What does that mean? You know what it means. It means blah, 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 blah. And then they explain it to me and I don't have to get
lost. There's a hell of a lot of exposition, but also the story doesn't really mean anything. You've got to get a key. If you get the key, then you can unlock
this simple computer
that controls the bad internet.
Mate,
if you do that, then everything will be fine.
Where's the key? On this guy.
But then they also do a bit of like sort of fancy exposition to make us, the dumb people, feel smart because we're following it. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, I'm understanding.
It's good.
I'm understanding what's happening. I'm a smart person.
Listen, I'm fine with that, man. Just give me – they make it easy to understand. It's a good franchise. It's fun. I don't have to use my brain.
The set pieces are insanely good.
There's so much money in this film.
Like they're blowing up. They're blowing up real trains.
$291 million to make this film.
Yeah, wow.
So 1 million of that dollars would change our life. They instead of making this Mission Impossible film, they could give everyone in America $1 million and everyone could like buy their own house, get out of healthcare, put the kids through college. Like every single person in America could get $1 million if they didn't make this film. Isn't it crazy?
It's a lot of fun though. It's a fun film.
It's a lot of fun. Do you understand?
This is a film where I could understand how they spent that much money though, right? Like they're in a 104 different locations and they're actually in the local, like in, you know, one act they're in Dubai, then the next act they're in Vienna, then the next act they're in Switzerland, and like they're actually filming in those locations. You can tell that
there's no bullshit.
You know, they're blowing up trains, there's real planes, real helicopters, there's barely any CGI in this film. So I could understand why it would cost, you know, you've also got a huge cast of well-known actors and all that sort of thing as well. So when a film costs like $500 million and it's almost all CGI, that's a part, I'm like, I don't quite understand what's going on here, you know. But with this film, I could understand how a buttload of money was spent on it.
You know, it's interesting, the director. So this guy, Christopher McQuarrie, so the last 12 films he's done have all been with
Tom Cruise. Yeah.
So they're like necking and stuff.
Yeah, for sure.
They're absolutely Frenching these two.
Reach arounds,
yeah. Training.
Dirty trombones, the whole thing.
Mate, they're doing it all. But what came first? Do you think that?
Rusty trombone. Sorry, I want to get that on the record that I got that correct. It's a rusty trombone and a dirty Sanchez.
But like what come first? Was it Tom Cruise?
Probably.
Oh, me. But like if they're okay, so
and the word you're looking for is spoof.
Yeah. Jizz. I like saying jizz. So if Tom Cruise, they're doing a film together, right? And then the next film, Tom Cruise is like, I want that director. Or is the director going, hey, Tom, do you want to do this?
No, it would be Tom's decision, absolutely.
So this guy, this McQuarrie's like sucking on the Cruise gravy. He's just like, give me a ball sack. I want to suck it hard so that he can continue doing these Jack Reacher films. Oh, my God, Suri. Was that Suri?
It was Suri, yes.
What did she say?
Tom Cruise's daughter,
they're
Suri.
They're listening. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. That's wild. Dude, what the fuck?
It is a strange thing. I want, you know, I wonder if you were in that situation, whether you would say yes to it. You know, Tom Cruise comes to you and says, hey, man, I essentially just want you to, like, direct and produce my films from now on. Whether you would just go, I mean, you'd be stupid to say no, right?
Yeah.
But you would also want to make your own stuff. And I don't think he does that at all. He doesn't. Does he do anything outside of Tom Cruise stuff? I don't think he does, right?
I'm looking. Mission, Top Gun Maverick, Mission Fallout, The Bad Mummy, Jack Reacher, Mission Impossible, Edge of Tomorrow, Jack the Giant Slayer. I don't know what that is. Oh, he was just a writer. He wasn't a director. But Jack Reacher, The Way of the Gun. But his first, he didn't direct it. He wrote Usual Suspects. So I don't know. It's just, yeah, I'm not sure what happened.
Yeah. I mean, there's been actors who have worked with directors primarily for periods of time, like De Niro with Scorsese, DiCaprio with Scorsese, although then he went and worked with Tarantino as well.
But he's a writer as well, so maybe he liked his writing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's not a rumor, but the story going around is that these guys storyboard the set pieces first and then write the film around that.
Yeah.
Which I did probably feel a couple of times in this film. Not in a way where I'm like, oh, this is terrible, but just in the fact of like.
I mean, what else can you really say when it's like Mission Impossible, something blows up. I knew that was going to happen and then they go to the next scene. Like, it's just.
It's probably the right way to do an action film.
Yeah.
In a way, it's like to have the action set pieces and then sort of storyboard write the story around those.
Yeah, because then it's so much easier just to get someone in there to like punch it up later, put the jokes in. I don't know, mate.
Look, I thought this was a good, fun popcorn movie. I would have said, if you had asked me straight after the film, I would have given it 2.5 grumps.
Because it was too fucking long?
I was tired before we went in.
Dude, and I was shifting around a lot. It's too hard to sit down that long.
Yeah, it's hard. Like, I'm not being an arsehole. It's hard for you to like.
It is really hard.
It's hard for you to sit for 3 hours.
It's hard for me to. No, what?
It's hard for me to sit on your.
We're being dumb. So how many grumps?
I'll give it 3. In the cold, hard light of day, I've had a couple of days since.
Yeah.
And the more I've thought about the set, that train set piece at the end of the film is, there would definitely be a little bit of CGI and trickery in that, but that feels like the stunts that were being done in the train carriages felt very real. To me, it didn't feel like CGI stuff. It felt like practical effects, like when the piano falls and stuff. Maybe it isn't. Maybe they just did a great CGI job. But it felt real, and I like that because you feel, for me as a viewer, I feel more on the edge of my seat when I feel like I'm watching real human beings in a real human situation rather than watching magical beings flying around against a green screen.
Okay.
You know, like I've never sat on the edge of my seat in a Marvel film.
Yeah, I'm picking up what you're putting
like
there.
I did with this. So, 3 stars. I would have given it more, except the length is too much and sort of drawing a story out over, even though there is kind of a resolution at the end of this film. I don't want this to become something that's done with all films where it's like, oh, no, there's 2 parts to it. You got to come back next year and watch the second half of the film.
That's annoying. I gave it 3 grumps as well.
3 grumps?
Yeah, same as the other film. I just was like, oh, neither here nor there. I'm like, I wish it had been shorter. It was good. It was fine.
It's good.
Yeah, it's fine. It's good.
It's good. It's a good time. Good. If you're thinking of going to the movies.
Look, it's better than great. It's good.
I would go check it out at the movies.
All right.
All right. I think we're done here, mate.
Mate.
Wrap it up, mate.
I think we've done a great job. Look, everyone's doing the best job they know how to do.
That's true.
Hey, if you've got any recommendations for some piece of garbage for us to watch, why not just drop us a line? Message us on Instagram or Facey. Let us know. But don't like write in 2 Girls, 1 Cup because we've all seen it.
We watch that every night. We had some nice feedback from people on socials this week, which was nice.
Yeah, thanks for liking us.
Yeah, people reaching out and saying thank you and well done and blah, blah, blah. So that's awesome.
Very nice. Very, very nice. And we get some listeners, which is great. Listen, we're not a big whoop of a podcast. We're just here to like help the day. That's all. That's all.
Yeah.
That's all. Me and Jimmy and Damien. We're all here just farting away.
Do you have a 55-minute training manual that you have to do at work and you want to listen to something while you're doing
that. Yeah, that's us.
Well, that's what we're here for.
Yeah. Yeah. So message us, find us on socials. I'm on Cali Fistuka and everything. You're on what, Damien?
Damien Paul Gibson on Threads and Instagram.
Threads. Oh, I don't know if I have the strength.
It's nice in Threads. It's nicer than Twitter or X.
Should I just delete my whole Twitter?
All right, let's go get some wings.
Oh, we're going to go Sport and Glow and get some wings?
Yeah, mate.
I love you.
I love you too.